Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, this is Rambler Rouse and Rose Bergeron. Just connecting right now with Tony Panikow.
Tony,
we are live. Introduce yourself.
Sorry, I'm coughing. What's up? Hey, do I have to introduce myself?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You never want to sit here. Hear my name's right now. Well, in case you're tuning in for the first time ever, it's your boy, the one and only, the twin and go. That's the TOR and ADO, Tony Panikow.
All right. And I'm sure Tom will be checking in with us sooner or later. We got a lot of interesting news. Cover?
Of course we do.
Big boxing news this week. I'm sure you've heard already. Made Pacquiao's next opponent.
Yes, big rematch.
Big rematch. Timothy Bradley. And,
now it's the question of when Bradley looked so good in his last fight against Marquez. He was vulnerable in the two fights preceding that. First against Pacquiao, where everybody and their brother thinks he lost. And then the fight against Ruslan Provodnikov, where he won, but a lot of people were not so sure about it. So, did he get the vulnerable Bradley or the dynamic Bradley? And then the question is, which Pacquiao did he get?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting fight overall. I like the matchup again. Timothy Bradley, to his credit, whether he believes he won or lost the first fight, he complained that he was really suffering from some major foot injury there and a leg injury. Basically fighting on two broken ankles, I think. If you believe what he says, so... A healthy Timothy Bradley, and this is a whole new ball game. This one could be actually close instead of going the wrong way. I think it's a good move on Pacquiao's part to say, I want to miss this loss and see what happens. Tom, how's it going?
Good evening, gentlemen.
What's in our combat sports psychic future?
Well, I'm kind of still in reverse gear about the about Tony's fight Friday night. I know we'll get to that later probably, but I guess I'm still stuck in reverse gear for that. Once we get past that, we'll focus on Saturday night in Chicago. I have a few predictions for that one too, but last Friday was an interesting night, huh?
Yeah. Tony Luis, yeah, lost the unanimous decision. Right catch at Showtime, Showbar. And actually, I think it was like the first fight of the night was the only one that was really competitive, and the tournament's doing well.
I found it awful interesting with some of the comments about the referee, how a lot of people on the forums were thinking that the referee seemed slightly intoxicated. Did either one of you guys catch the fight, and what do you think about that?
Well, unfortunately, your predictions didn't help me last week because you didn't predict I was going to be sick all weekend. Unfortunately, I was really under the weather, and I ended up going to sleep early Friday night. I was going to go to the gym on Saturday, and that did not happen. Both of us played Saturday night. For about the first three rounds of the fight, fell asleep again, so then some pretty heavy medication. And then pretty much stayed pretty in bed from Monday until tonight. So... to answer your question, no, I was not a fight guru this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, when I heard the first judge say 99-90, well, Okay. I mean, it was a lot of fun. So, to be fair, some of the rounds were close enough that you could make a case either way. But to me, worst case scenario, Tony was a round or two shy, and it could have been a draw. Or conceivably, Tony could have slightly edged it. But 99-90, and then two judges had it 97-93, and it was a pretty pathetic job by the referee. I believe the fight's on YouTube if you guys could have a chance to catch it. You know, Tony, being the shorter guy, had to work inside, and it seemed like the minute he would get inside, the referee would want a break. And he was just continually, just almost like a one-sided barrage going in Tony's direction. That's, you know, I'm kind of wondering here. I mean, it's just, you know, here we are in this again about judges and officials and everything else with this sport. But that's the way it went. You know, I say don't leave it in the hands of the judges, but I just think Tony kind of, I mean, I'm not saying I think the decision was robbery or anything like that, but it just seemed like the whole refereeing thing, and he was up against a stacked deck, from what I see.
You should come up with your own new slogan, though. Don't leave it in the hands of the judges, leave it in the hands of the psychic.
There you go. There you go. But, yeah, Tony was hurt in the sixth round, but he hung on and gave it a heck of a fight, so... I'm not sure where he goes from here. There's a couple losses there. He's going to have to put that behind him and just keep going. But I think he picked up a lot of fans in that fight, from comments I got on the Internet.
Yeah, you get the impression, too, from the PR they put out for that fight that he was kind of expected to get mowed down. I mean,
yeah.
They really didn't focus much at all on him. It was all about this red cat guy and how great he was going to be. And really didn't give Luis much credit at all.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, KO'd. I mean, supposedly this guy really had a good punch, but Tony hung in there. He took it to him. He showed a lot of class and just wish things could have turned out a little different, but that's the way it goes.
Right. And we have some ESPN Friday night fights this week, I think. We got plenty of other stuff to talk about. We're going to get back to that full card once my situation holds up here with the results. Just wanted to mention this quick story here. I mentioned it after the fight, Chris Leben's last fight there with Uriah Hall, when he benched himself, basically, took himself out of the fight. I said that's what a real professional fighter does when he knows he's out fast. He can have the ability to just sit there and say, you know, I'm done. And he did that in his last fight, and he was done officially. That's his last fight. He's announced his retirement January 20th. He said, at the time I was just talking about the fight, but you know what? I think that's pretty much it. As far as competing in the UFC, I may actually be done. It's been a fantastic, wonderful ride. I've landed more strikes than anybody out there. Definitely had some ups and downs, but I'm starting to realize that for me, it may be time to make that transition over, away from competing, and get more on the coach's side of things. So.
Yeah, I think that's a good decision, that Uriah Hall fight. He just could not seem to cut the ring off. He seemed just a step or two slow, and as you guys know in this business, a step or two slow is like a huge gap. And he was just chasing Hall around. He didn't know how to cut him off, and just hadn't seen a lot of evolution from him. But he has nothing to be ashamed of. The guy's been around for quite a while, and he's given us some exciting fights. You know, he win, lose, or draw, he always showed up and gave everything he had. What more can you ask?
Well, you know, I agree, definitely. Apparently he's kind of upset that he didn't quit on the stool. Such a big regret for him. If he had a chance to do it again, he would have let his coaches and trainers, he said, make the decision to throw in the towel. And, I don't know, you know, I can't knock the guy for that. I think it's good, so... You know, you naturally want to have a good performance on your last fight, so It's probably just that speaking, but, you know, he did officially retire. He's done, so he's not going to have another opportunity. And he says he's not even going to fight for any other promotions. He says, if I'm not fighting in the UFC, I'm not fighting. I mean, bottom line, I've been with the UFC for now 10 years. And I really feel I've grown with them. In this sport, you're either moving forwards or moving backwards, and I just can't imagine after having so many great fights with the UFC, stepping back to a smaller show or something like that, it would be crazy. So, yeah, I think I'm done. But during his time with the UFC, he went 11-10, including wins over Patrick Cote, Yoshihiro Akiyama, and Alessio Sakara. And his last victory was against Wanderlei Silva. Knocked him out in 27 seconds back in 2011 at UFC 132. And low points for the crippler were losses to Anderson Silva, Michael Bisping, and Mark Munoz. He also had a positive test for banned substances. I think a couple of them. But now he's going to be a coach. So, pretty interesting. But get back to that showbox card. Get it all up here now. Also wanted to mention Frank Galarza, the guy with two nicknames, the Brooklyn Rocky and Notorious. I don't know how you can have two nicknames like that, but he does. He got a second round knockout over John Apollo Kid Thompson, who's 14-1. And on the same card, Antoine Douglas is undefeated, 12-0. Won a lopsided 8-round decision over Marquise Davis, 8-1, with 2 draws and 5 knockouts. And the leadoff fight of the night, undefeated junior welterweights Maurice Mighty Mo Hooker, 12-0-2 with 9 KOs of Dallas, Texas, and Abel Ramos, 8-0-1. Casa Grande, Arizona, box to an 8-round draw. Sounds like it was a pretty good night to watch some boxing, as Tom found out. He didn't. Speaking of boxing, talks a little bit about boxing. I know this is going to make you guys mad, but Dana White's trying to counter-program us, I think. This fighter show, it's on tonight at 9 o'clock. Let us know, we'll do our show this hour. Looking like it's a pretty good... good setup they have. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work, but there's all kinds of people now talking about Dana White promoting boxing. They should just put out the show. I know Tony's not going to like that.
No, keep him where he is.
Yeah.
The guy has spent so much time discussing how much that, you know, he loves boxing and this and that. He started in boxing, and but then he's going to be trashing the product. And that is the unemployment stuff. You know, now, if you're a promoter and you want to promote your fight as opposed to, like, maybe your rival promoter, let's say, Don King and Bob Arum, or Bob Arum and Golden Boy, or whoever. And they're putting cards on at the similar time. The first watch is going to be able to stop because he's littering down the product. You know, I'm putting the pay-per-view on the same night, you know, somebody else is. Well, you know, even if you have a great card, you're going to be too good. Other people are going to buy that other card. And you're littering down your potential buys. I remember the one time it was with the Mayweather-Marquez fight a couple years ago. because that was when I was not working that summer. I had a lot of time to jump on and listen to some of the press conferences and all that. And I remember listening, and he played it on the air, and it was David White just dancing. He was having a Yeltsin part that night, and Mayweather Montez was on that night. And he was like, they're going to have one fight, it's going to be Mayweather dancing the song. We're going to have seven great fights. So now he's trashing the Mayweather card. I'm like, wait a minute, there were three or four people fights that night on the boxing card. And most of them were pretty good. You know, Mayweather beat Marquez handily, but it was still an entertaining fight. The UFC card has to be done. You really shot yourself in the foot on both ends. And now, if you want to come promote boxing, you are basically just making the sport have to be inferior to your sport, but now you want to promote it. So what's that going to make it better? No, because what's going to happen is he's going to try to end up doing exactly what he does with the UFC, and I don't think any real boxers are going to sign for him because he's going to pay them less and he's going to try to put himself at the head of the promotion.
Well, why don't you tell us how you really feel, Tony?
Tony, you make some good points. Yeah, you make some very good points. I think he'd be better off staying where he's at. He's got his plate full with the UFC.
Thank you.
Wow. Apparently the Fighters, this reality show, is it's going to be in a tournament format, sort of like The Ultimate Fighter, but White says the big difference is that the Discovery show is more character-driven, and it's going to be more about the personalities of the fighters in a self-fostered neighborhood. So... pretty interesting. I don't know a lot of the guys in the South Boston area boxing scene, but from doing the Battle of the Badges, I have met a lot of your guys in the Boston area, so to speak. But here's an interesting story about Rampage Jackson. A couple of these, actually. Rampage has been in the news for a couple crazy things lately. Not so much for fighting, though. But anyway, Reebok. Just at Reebok, apparently. No, we've probably all seen the commercial. Some of the football players are running from all these obstacles in nature. The great huge blood pump behind them, and that's the last part of the commercial. But anyway, I guess they promised him a shoe of his own and everything. And he's not too bad. Even though he got a sponsorship, they failed to hook him up after enough of. So he put out Instagram. Trident looks down. New sponsor, I guess. And they just made a Rampage iPhone case for him. Trident hooks me up. I love ways that take care of people like they say they will, unlike Reebok. He didn't go into specifics, but he has a new sponsor, and probably won't be seeing that commercial so much anymore. But there's a story about his story currently regarding the 2008 car chase. I remember from the original incident, claimed that he was up all night on energy drinks. Did not go into specifics, though. I would probably get Zion. No, this is a serious thing, because this woman lost her baby. A pregnant woman lost her baby. Because she was basically a cop chase. entire sponsor car. Talk about screwing your sponsors. Looks good, man. Went on a real rampage. Anyway, so he ended up down on the street and arrested, charged with multiple felonies. By a miracle, he was able to get out of most of his major trouble. And Dana White literally bailed him out of jail. But back in 2008, not only did he get his DVD, but he said the entire incident was due to a spiritual war going on in his head, and the voice of God was telling him to go save a friend who he believed to be on the verge of suicide. As I said, he also noted that he slept for 7 days and was ingesting nothing but energy drinks. No giant shakes, just but anyway. But it's, Jackson has a different story now. Let's see where it describes it here. Just rampage being rampage. My computer being my computer. So. Well, apparently his story has changed. So I'll figure out what it changed. That's a good one. Did you guys know Pam Rather used to be a boxer?
Really?
Dan Rather, yeah, the news guy. He was kind of a stick-and-move guy, it says. But he was actually on Axis TV, AXS TV. If you want to look it up, it's probably on YouTube. Pretty sure it's on YouTube. And he's talking about head injuries, believe it or not, in combat sports. And he hasn't really been in the news, as some of us may know, because he's been doing some scandalous reporting there with not a lot of fact-checking. So he stopped working for the big networks, but he's been out and about doing his thing. And so he did a big interview on with Kenny Rice there on Axis TV, and he talked all about how head injuries are going to impact both mixed martial arts and boxing. And he discussed a little bit about his own boxing. That he was nothing to be feared or anything like that. But he was really enamored by the whole experience. And one thing that really stuck out about his remark was, he played other sports, team sports, and there was nothing like being the person when the stool comes out from under you, who has to go out there and face the opponent one-on-one, no team, nobody else with you. So that's, that clip is actually on MMAmania.com, if you want to check that out. Dan Rather on MMA.
Pretty good
jiu-jitsu. He's a pretty
good
jiu-jitsu guy. He rolls. Yeah. I see the rules. He's pretty good. Yeah, that's just one of the little stories we got here. as I mentioned, Pacquiao's going to fight Bradley. This is a big one. Jean Pascal had a big win over the weekend. 12-round unanimous decision over former IBF super middleweight champion Lucien Gouté. All-Canadian light heavyweight showdown. Pascal rocked all day in round two with a right hand and was able to impose his will with wild flurries and relentless aggression.
Honestly, I only saw the first few rounds of that before I said my medicine started kicking in. Like, couldn't keep my eyes open anymore. But honestly, I didn't. First of all, going into the fight, I picked Pascal to win late. And I thought Gouté actually would have the lead early because of, you know, he's a little bit more athletic. And not saying Pascal's a bad athlete, but he's more of a rugged, physical type guy, where Gouté is a southpaw, a little bit taller, a little bit faster, and I thought, you know, Gouté would do some combinations, try to build the lead, and then I just remember him getting hurt pretty bad in the 12th round against Andrade in their first fight, and I mean, hurt really bad, and to the point where the referee Marlon D. Wright basically saved him. I remember him really getting hammered pretty good by Paul Foch, and I was like, I don't think Gouté's got the physicality, especially moving up a weight class, to be able to stand up to Pascal for 12 rounds. And I thought it was going to be the case of Gouté leading early, Pascal rallying late and causing a stoppage around the 10th round. But it was Pascal that actually had the big lead early. And Gouté hurt a few times. Well, I didn't think he was going to see the 5th round. He was staggering pretty good. And then after I saw the my dad had told me that that it was Gouté that came on late and had Pascal all but out on his feet.
Yeah, round 12. Gouté sent him.
Yeah.
Rocked. That's the stoppage. It was a pretty close score, too. 116, 112, 117 to 110, and 117 to 111. So 6 rounds, basically. 6 points, basically. 4 points on one card. But also on the same card, we had the guy who put Magomed Abdusalamov in a coma, Mike Perez, upped his record to 20 wins, no losses, and one draw with a 10-round draw against underdog Carlos Takam.
Yeah, and that fight I did see, and it was funny, the way they scored it from I partially agree with the way they scored him, but the first two rounds were not that exciting. You know, Perez was boxing, you know, he was outmaneuvering him, and Cam really wasn't doing anything. And it was like, all right, you have to fix the timing, you don't know much about him. All right, you know, he has a couple stoppage wins over, like, 40-plus-year-old Sam Sosa, who was well worth his prime. A win over about 40-year-old Michael Grant, who, you know, actually is only got 20 minutes from me. And Michael Grant, you know, perfect physical specimen, weak kid, and never really had much of a tolerance. So he stopped those two guys. He didn't really get a good gauge on this guy. And then, you know, what happens to Bear is, you know, nobody expected much out of Japan. And in the first 4 or 5 rounds, I had it a weight loss. I had a 5 muscle. But then in the 6th round, he started really picking it off. And he started really beating Perez up. You know, they had the clash of heads in the 3rd round, and yeah, that may have affected Perez with a bad cut over his right eye. But it was the camera that really hurt him. At one point, he hit him with a right hand right on the chin, and actually, he was falling straight back. It was actually, felt like it was like his shoulder hit the second rope and sprang him back up. Or if there were no ropes there, he would have went down. The referee actually could have caught by the knockout because the ropes held him up. Cam dominated the next 5 rounds. So they were thinking that I think he was like 97, 93, or 96, 94. I remember turning them to that and saying, watch, it'll be 95-95 and draw. Then, if the judges had it, 95-95 and draw, because, and I always say this,
scored it like a hockey fight or a street fight, where it's one fight as a whole, one mass, one 30-minute round, you're going to say Sam won that fight, because the five rounds he won, he dominated. Where in the five rounds Perez won, they were just mediocre. Where for him, it looked like he won, quote-unquote, the fight. But it's a 10-point loss system, and the market for Queen's Air rules, 95-95 a draw.
All right. Oh, I forgot to mention, too, about the fighters, the Dana White show. The gyms that he's matching the fighters up is Peter Welch, Dana White's buddy. But actually, Tom sent me the article that mentioned all these gyms, and there's a guy, Mark DeLuca, he's got this gym in Quincy. I never went to that particular gym, but Mark DeLuca actually taught me how to box, and we've talked about his son on the show because his nickname is the Italian Bazooka,
yeah,
the boxer.
Yeah, I remember him.
And I should have gone to his fight because I was in Vegas and they had a card in Dorchester, go figure, my hometown. But I was out in Vegas and I was actually the guys from Vegas who did it out there, so it was so weird. But it was Mills Lane's kids who set that card up. But also Tim Stanton, you might recognize him from the Boston's Finest show. His DMT boxing club over there in Braintree, been there. Boxer once, just hitting the heavy bags and stuff for a workout, but didn't train there. But he's got a pretty good setup there. He's got a nice following. Joe Ennis is Big East Boxing in Brockton. Joe, I've met a bunch of times. He's good friends with the other Tony Petronelli, my old brief trainer for a couple months anyway. So I'm looking forward to that, seeing those familiar faces, and I'm sure I've seen some of those kids who are going to be on it. We'll see. Everything else on Discovery turns out pretty good, so looking forward to it. We get some news here about our former guest way back in the day. Got to get her back on again, actually. Kalisha West has been in the news.
Wild West.
Yeah, she's been pretty wild. But she basically said the promoters in North America don't know what they are doing. And this is in response to the question of why hasn't the biggest fight in women's boxing between West and Ava Knight happened. They fought two times before, the first one the night, the second a draw. But both of them think they won the second match. She wants it on a U.S. network. West does, and she thinks they deserve it. But, you know, women are getting all the attention in MMA, but no longer in boxing. I think all of us have seen that happen over the few years we've been involved. It's just one of those things. It's very weird because at one time you thought women's boxing was going to hit the big time. And, you know, you had Leila Ali involved. You had, HBO covering fights, women's fights. And I think last year was the first time they ever had a women's fight on ESPN Friday Night Fights, right? Boxing?
You have a whole female card on ESPN? It was about a year or two ago, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, how much impact it had on me. But that's the point, you know. We can't remember a time when we've seen women's fights on TV. And I know it's bigger actually overseas. They do put women in the main events. Actually, Felicia got in a little trouble because she made a little video talking about Floyd Mayweather, where she basically was frustrated over the promotion of women's boxing. And questioned how Floyd Mayweather could spend $50,000 on strippers but won't help promoting the highest level of women's boxing. But she believes in women's fights, and she wants to see more of them. She said also she was offered a fight with Anna Juulaton on a week's notice during the holidays this past year. But she says, who gets offered a fight on 1 week's notice the day after Thanksgiving? Really? That's a bad day. That's a really bad day. I get the call. Hey, go puke up your turkey, buddy. Have to get out there and fight. You got a week. She's also been on a reality show, though. Based out of Southern California, so Hollywood. She was featured on the Wayne Brady Show as well as CW's The Capture this past year in a Sony commercial. She also has a reality show, I guess, so I don't know how to describe that. She says it's frustrating, though, because it's really hard to be on a reality show that you can't get marketing and sponsors behind you when you can't give them a date to fight. They will ask you when you are fighting, and when you can't give a date, it makes it harder for them to watch to, or to want to give you that opportunity. There is a new crop of women coming up right now who are amateurs, and I will be pissed off if I can't watch them when I retire. For West, it is bigger than just one heyday, exposure, and fame. She wants to be a star, basically. So we'll have to get her back on the show. When I remember her story, she's a young kid who watched her father box her whole life. Her father really never was behind getting her into it. She just got into it on her own and then kind of surprised him with it, that she was good at it, and how they worked together. So, pretty interesting story. She's very good. She definitely fights. She's come a long way since we interviewed her the first time. See any fight coming up? UFC on Fox 10. Benson Henderson versus Josh Thompson. Henderson is 19-3. Was for a brief while the champion in the division. Thompson is 20-5, and. Has a couple of losses over Gilbert Melendez. He's also one of the only people to ever beat Gilbert Melendez. Other than a loss to Tatsuya Kawajiri, who I never heard of, most of the people he's lost to are big names. Eve Edwards, Clay Guida. Back on the first card I ever watched of mixed martial arts, he got beat by Clay Guida. Strikeforce Shamrock versus Gracie. I think that was their very first event on Showtime.
Right, yes it was.
That was crazy. That was like, I couldn't believe it. The way that ended, the main event ended so controversially too with head strikes, foul being called on Shamrock. That was a wild one. Speaking of the Shamrock family, by the way, sorry I forgot to mention last week. Ken Shamrock was doing security for 50 Cent. Can you believe it?
No.
He's executive security now.
Oh, wow.
He's on 50 Cent's detail weekends ago. One of the stories I forgot to bring up last week. So I'm sure he's plenty of time on his hands to come back on our show. Celebrity details. So that's pretty funny. But good news for him. Glad to see he's working. Anyway, Benson Henderson versus Josh Thompson. I think this is almost no contest as far as who's going to win. Although Thompson does have a pretty intense record. I mean, he's really only been in UFC recently for one fight, but he does go all the way back to UFC 44, if you look at his record. That was his first fight.
I think the whole key to this is if you look at Henderson when he comes back from a setback, he's just overpowering. And I think Josh will make it a fight, but I just think Henderson's just a slight class above.
All right. Psychic Tom says it's going to be Henderson. Write it down, folks.
There you go.
But this one, I don't know. I think Psychic Tom's going to have some reverberations here. He's got a personal interest in this one. Gabriel Gonzaga versus Stipe Miocic. Gabriel's a New England guy. I know I've probably told the story a million times of how I walked up to him and said, that guy over there thinks you're Gabriel Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, I think this one comes down to, you know, when Gonzaga came around and he had that incredible knockout of Krokop, and he expected him to be so good on the ground with his jiu-jitsu, but his stand-up game seemed great. Then he came up a little short against Couture, had a couple setbacks, was cut from the UFC, and then actually retired, I believe, in 2010. I think that was... just said he lost his passion for things, and then he came back a year later, and since he's come back, he's been on a roll with the exception of that setback to Travis Brown. I think he's a very dangerous opponent for Stipe, but now having said that, I think the key to this is, you know, Stipe went and did nothing but boxing for about a year and a half, and a lot of that shows in the stand-up game. He has very good hands, and especially he has very good lateral movement. And he showed that in the Roy Nelson fight. So I think the key to victory for him is to just stick and move. I think he's got the edge on the feet, use his takedown defense, and if it goes to the ground, don't get on the bottom, because Gonzaga on top would be a nightmare. At that point, Stipe will be in trouble. But I think he's going to fight a smart fight, and where my money's at, you heard it here first.
Well, I think Stipe is a younger, hungrier type of guy, and I really do like Gabriel. I think he's a great guy. He's a warrior. He's a legend for that kick alone. But, you know, he's just basically, not at the Miocic's hunger level, number one. I think Miocic is a better strategist. I think Gonzaga was going to go out there and try to knock him out. And he's probably going to play right into Miocic's team.
Yeah, so, I think that would be the wrong fight for Gonzaga to fight.
That's going to be an exciting one. I really like that matchup. And we have Donald Cowboy Cerrone, 21-6, fighting Adriano Martins, 25-6. I've never heard of this guy. I don't know why. get that many wins, but I've never heard of this much.
Yeah, I think most of his fights have happened in Brazil. The key to this one is, does Cowboy really have that old fire back? And he swears he does. He said he had a streak there for a while. He just got burnt out. He was going through the motions, and this is not the kind of sport to do that in. But he looked awful good in his last fight, and he says he's ready to go. So I kind of like him in this fight.
Yeah, I've always liked his style. I think he can beat this guy. They both have 6 losses, but Cerrone's probably got the more high-caliber experience, UFC guys. So I don't know. We'll see what this Martinez is made of. So, next fight, Darren Elkin, 17-3, fighting Jeremy Stevens, 22-9. And that's a tough fight for Stevens. He's getting up there. He's been around a while, so this is a real big test for Elkin to see if he can keep winning, keep up his win at least. The next one is possibly going to be Alex Caceres' last fight in the UFC, because Sergio Pettis, another former guest of ours, way back when, back in the beginning before he was in the UFC, and he's only been in the UFC for a couple of fights, this is the second fight. And Caceres went through the Ultimate Fighter and everything like that, but Pettis, obviously being of the same bloodline as Anthony, got the nod without going on to any reality show. Obviously, he's 10-0 on TV, so he had to win a few fights as well. So Alex Caceres, a.k.a. Bruce Leroy, is going down, I think, in this one.
I would agree.
Sergio is supposed to be way more explosive and powerful than his brother is with the striking, too, so you can do all the weird-ass kicks you want, Bruce. It's not going to work. All right, so then we've got a pretty interesting journeyman fight here. Eve Jibouin, 19-8, fighting Eddie Wineland, who's 29-1. That's 20 wins, 9 losses, 1 draw. That's going to be a pretty interesting matchup there. And we've got Chico Camus, 13-4, fighting Yeltsin Meza, 20 wins, 8 losses. We've got Hugo Viana, 7-1, fighting Ramiro Hernandez, 13-5. And we've got Darren Cruikshank, 13-4, fighting Mike Rio, 9-3. George Sullivan, 14-3, fighting Mike Rhodes, 6-1. And Walt Harris, who's 5-2, is fighting Nikita Krylov, who's 15-3. And I don't know what it is about this Nikita guy, but if you go on Sherdog and look up this card, he's the only guy they've got on Sherdog who doesn't have like a weigh-in picture or a fight picture. This picture is just a dude wearing a suit coat with a bowler hat on. Like a gangster. So that's UFC on Fox 10. Another UFC story here. Michael Johnson is replacing injured Ross Pearson and will meet Melvin Dillard for the co-main event of UFC Fight Night 37, which takes place on March 8th at London's O2. So that's a big step up for Mr. Johnson. We'll see how he does there. Definitely a risky fight for him to take on short notice. Melvin Dillard. So they also have some bad blood, I guess, too. So should be interesting. Now, I don't know. don't know how much you know, you guys know about karate. But you know what?
Wax on, wax off.
You didn't know wax on.
What more do I need to know to wax on, wax off?
Oh, well, you know, paint the house, paint the fence, sand.
Oh, yeah, that too. Stand the deck and all that.
But here's a story about karate that, will make you wonder whether this guy ever saw the movie The Karate Kid, because obviously in the movie The Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi teaches you you're only supposed to use karate for self-defense, right? Wow. This scumbag, 33-year-old Zeith Contreras, up there in Phoenix, Arizona, is a black belt in karate and a mixed martial arts specialist. But instead of practicing in a gym, police believe he practiced his moves on at least two victims at a North Phoenix group home. And these are old people. According to court documents, the suspect's karate moves included punching the victims in the temple, head, and sternum. He's also accused of striking them with his knee on their backs and abdomens. This guy lived at the group home, where he was the only caregiver there. And get this, is the worst part. One of the victims is wheelchair-bound and partially paralyzed. He was arrested on January 10th, but it took police 3 months to track him down. As soon as he learned he was under investigation, police say he quit his job at the home and started hiding out with various family members. And then he was finally arrested when he showed up for a court appearance on an unrelated crime. Court documents show that one of the victims claimed Contreras wrapped his arm around her throat and held her still while he kneed her in the back. She suffered a broken rib. And this is the worst part. During the abuse, the police claim he'd tell the victims, "You're making me do this, and I'm doing this to make you a better human." Actually, that's not even the worst part. The worst part is...
Well, you would have made him a better human, you know.
This guy actually also admitted that he got his job in the first place using a fraudulent Social Security number, and he has been living in this country for 26 years.
Well, I'll just say this much about that. He better be glad I'm not the judge. You know, I would be one of those judges. I probably wouldn't last too long as a judge, but it would be some good cocktail lounge entertainment. He better be glad I'm not the judge in that one. And you can imagine there'll be some legal action to that home. That home will be out of business pretty quick. Well deserved.
You know, I got to agree with Tom on that one more thing here. It's like, you know, and unfortunately, it's like we write so many laws in here now that the laws are actually almost not criminals anymore. It's like you get a person here that like beats people, hurts people, does whatever, tortures people, murders people, rapes, whatever. We don't want to punish them. You get a person like, oh, he's killed like 12 people and he dismembered them and he killed them horrendously and he did this and he did that. Oh, but we can't give them the death penalty. That's inhumane. Really?
Yeah.
Really? You know, I mean, who put me on the jury? Because I became a friend of mine, fine, fucker. You know, lethal injection is a little too merciful for me. And I feel like you get people doing this knockout game now, and you get these people doing all these things, and I'm like, because they're not afraid of the crime. They're not afraid of the punishment, you know? Well, like, there was a story the other day that up in Philadelphia, young girl and her mother were walking, and a guy went to rob him, went to grab her purse, and she tried to resist, and he shot her. And now, if she gets caught, you know, he's going to go up, oh, boy, had a bad childhood, and, basically he was trying to rob somebody, and he shot somebody in cold blood over, like, $14, you know? $14. Now, okay, if you don't want to put this person to death, you don't want to say it's premeditated or whatever, you got to give him... Like, you give him, like, a whipping or something, or, like, a caning. I'm all for public caning. Because, you know what? That'll knock a lot of shit off real fast.
You bet. You bet.
Well, Chris, put him in a room with me when I'm in a bad mood.
There you go.
I think they should just get a bunch of old school, like senior citizens and karate masters. Put this guy in a corner and have them all go after him. Out of their wheelchairs, though. Nobody even in chairs. I mean, what a crazy story. I couldn't believe it when I read this. Especially for somebody who does karate, when you read something like that and you see somebody abusing it. But the lines that he said to these people, apparently, is most disturbing. "You're making me do this," he said, "and I'm doing this to make you a better human." Ouch. The worst. Where do you get this? Where do you get that mentality? You really think you're doing these people a favor? Knee them in the back. And doing all this crap. And then, you know, to find out that this guy's been here on a fraudulent Social Security number for 26 years. You know, never even should have been here. And he's here abusing people with karate moves. But it's called self-defense for a reason. Defense. Anyway, what do we got for boxing this week, Tony? I know we got Friday Night Fights on ESPN, but I don't have the card in front of me.
I'm going to pull up on Tony now. We actually got two live fight cards that I know guys are on. Actually, two former guests of ours are fighting. Not each other. They're performing this weekend in separate cards. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make either one of them. I know we're going to have a little bit more inclement weather on Saturday, from what I've heard. And like I said, I've been pretty much bedridden for the majority of the last 5 days. So I don't think it would be behooving me to try to go out this weekend. Let's see if I can get my stupid box set to work here. Okay, there we go. I'm going to go right to Saturday to two local cards, then I'll talk about everything that's going to be on televised. Which I think we do have at least one of the major networks something on. So let's go down here. First one I'll talk about is Atlantic City in Boise. And the main event of that card is Derek Rossi fighting former guest of ours, Joey Boydell. We just interviewed him just a matter of months ago. Rossi is 28-7, 14 knockouts. 5 of his 7 losses have been by stoppage. His last fight was about eight months ago. It was a unanimous decision loss to President Kendo, fast friends. And back last year, he had a 2-round stoppage loss to Audley Harrison. Not the best thing to be known for. Audley had a great career. Also had a couple losses to Fast Eddie Chambers, a decision loss and a stoppage loss. So, Derek Rossi is 6'3", so he's definitely going to have the height advantage in the fight. The grand two fights he's laying 235-240. Now, Joey, who I know personally, and we've interviewed on the show, Joey is a spitfire. He's a young guy. He's short and very stocky. Joey's about 5'10", weighing about the same, around 235, 240, one of the 14 highest, 250 almost. In his last fight, he actually had a stoppage loss to a fighter by the name of Charles Martin. That was back in November. It was a fight stopped at the end of the fourth round. He was down in the fourth, and they stopped it after that. He is 8-3 with 3 knockouts, and the fight you have to favor Rossi. He's had more fights. He's been in there with better opposition. He's got the height and reach advantage. Joey's a guy that his best chance is just to get in there and to grind.
and really make things uncomfortable, really make things difficult, and try to wear Rocky down for the later rounds. Also, this Saturday night, we have one in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, about 40 minutes from my house, put on by Marshall Kaufman, promoter department at the time I went to a few months ago. His son Travis, who we interviewed about 2 weeks ago, fighting the main event. Travis Kaufman, now trained by Bernard Hopkins trainer Nazim Richardson, 27-1, 20 knockouts. He's coming up a one-round knockout over Jason Burnett. He is fighting Vincent Thompson, 13-1 with 2 knockouts. Vincent's more of a long-arm boxer. Travis is 6'3". Last plays at 237. He's really trying to tighten himself up and get in better shape. Look at him. He's 6'2", around 229, and he actually has a win over the very same Charles Martin. He has a loss to the very same Charles Martin that has a win over Joey Duenzo. Who else is my team that would be of any interest? You guys might recognize the names. Give me one moment. Miguel Cartagena, who I've followed a few times, and I know some personal friends of his. Very good bantamweight fighter. Frank Santos de Alba, who's been fighting at almost all of Marshall Kaufman's cards. But the fighter of the night, and I guarantee you, the most entertaining fighter in the card is the guy by the name of Bigfoot, Caleb Fittimore. He's the guy to see. Remember him, Tom? He's the guy that came to the ring with the big afro and the gold chains on?
Right.
Yeah, he's played again. I saw him in one of his last fights, and I was sitting right where the aisle was, and I got pictures of him doing his ring walk routine, and it was absolutely hilarious. And I said it was a good thing the fight ended so early, because it took him almost 15 minutes to get to the ring back to the locker room, because he was there taking pictures and shaking hands and just bullshitting with anybody that wanted to come up and talk to him. And just what a genuinely nice guy, and what a great smile. You know, he was just he was a big kid. And he beat the hell out of the guy, but he was happy to be there, and he was happy to do it.
And I remember he had quite an entourage escorting him to the ring, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And like some funny guy. So now we're looking at the main card for the Saturday night. We have, and I think we're going to have an HBO on the same time, even more. We have in one card, we have Lamont Peterson, and he is coming off that big loss to Lucas Matisse back in May of last year. Third round knockout. This is his first fight back, and he is going to be an undefeated fighter. He's going to be fighting in his backyard. Lamont's from D.C. 31-2, one draw, 16 knockouts. He's fighting a fighter by the name of Thierry Jean, or Jean, I'm not really sure. Undefeated. He's from Montreal, Canada, so I'm going to go that's Thierry Jean. And he is 25-0, 17 knockouts. Let me see if I recognize anybody on his ledger there, and I really can't say that I do. So they're going to be going for the IBF light welterweight title. Also on that, we have it looks to be a very interesting fight on the undercard. Let me pull that up here. Jamel Charmel. And Jamel is 42-0, 11 knockouts. He has a stoppage win over Harry Joe Yorgi just about a year ago, actually a year ago this weekend. He also has a unanimous decision win over Demetrius Hopkins, Bernard's nephew. He's
wow.
He's undefeated record on the line against Gabe Rosado. Philly kid, I know Gabe. I know Gabe's trainer, Billy Briscoe, very well. And Gabe is... He's been a hard-luck guy as of recently. He had that nice tough stoppage loss to Genevieve Golovkin just about a year ago. And then he had a fight against Jaleon Love, which he lost originally a split decision after putting Love down, which then got deemed a no contest because Love had tested positive for a banned diet substance. Then he had another title shot against Peter Killen, Kid Chocolate, back in October, and he lost the 10th-round stoppage on a cut. And at the time, it actually was maybe a good thing that the fight got stopped on the cut, because everybody out there is saying that it was a lot closer than the judges had it. They had it pretty wide for Peter Killen, and everybody that I've talked to, not just Philadelphia guys, but a lot of scribes in general, had that fight standing there dead even going into the 10th round. And so, they've had a lot of luck because you're not going to meet a tougher guy, and you're not going to meet a guy that's going to work any harder, and honestly, you're not really going to meet a nicer guy either. You're just hoping that this guy can get that break that he so much deserves. And let's go and look at the other card that is going to be televised this weekend. And this is another doubleheader coming from the Garden, Madison Square Garden. And young, up-and-coming bomber, Mikey Garcia, the super featherweight champ of the world, WBO. And this is going to be a good fight. I mean, if you want a fight to watch, this is going to be it. Mikey's on a big winning streak right now. Well, he's on a 33-fight winning streak. He's 33-0 with 28 knockouts. But really, over the last year, he really committed himself. He had a big lead in the last year. Knockout over Luna. And knockout over Ruben Martinez. And now he's going up against Juan Carlos Burgos. So it's 31-2 with 20 knockouts, and his last two fights have actually been the two draws. One against Roman Rocky Martinez that a lot of people thought Burgos won, and it was a split decision draw, and then a fight against Yakubu Amidou, which was, again, a pretty competitive fight. I remember watching it, and that was also a draw. That was one a lot of people thought Amidou should have won. But now he's going up against Garcia, and honestly, I don't see, as good as Burgos is, I don't see him beating Garcia. Garcia is a phenomenal young up-and-coming fighter. And then let me find out, we have a pretty good one on the other card there, too, that I'd like to quickly preview before I throw the floor to you guys, because I'm hogging up the air again. We got tough Philly kid. I've met a few times. Brian Bye-Bye Jennings, possibly, a up-and-comer in the heavyweight division. Brian Jennings is, tall, really not tall for heavyweights, but got decent range, 6'2", 227 pounds in that fight. He is 17-0 with 9 knockouts. He's on a 3-fight knockout streak. And he is stepping in there against a fighter that is also undefeated. So we've got two undefeated heavyweights going at him. This guy is from a fighter from Poland by the name of Arthur Stikla. I can't even say it. He's got, he had two really exciting wins over Mike Malo, who's, a tough, rough fighter. And he had, the first time they fought was February of 2013. Malo had him down twice, and then Spitzel came back and leveled him with one shot. They fought again just this past August, and it was the same thing. Malo had him down in the third round, and then he came back and knocked Malo out. So looking at this, to be totally honest, I don't like his chances against Brian Jennings, because they don't call Brian Jennings bye-bye, just for fun. Because he's a guy that's going to, go out there. He's a guy that, he only has 9 knockouts and 17 wins, but he's really been picking up the sitting down in his punches and really been taking guys out. And I think that's what's going to happen to Mr. Spitzer in this fight. Sorry to have hogged up so much.
That's what we don't pay you for. you did mention the Fantasy Springs Casino fight card, didn't you?
Yeah.
It?
Yeah, the one in the stands, right? Is that fun?
Cornelius Bundrich versus Joey Hernandez.
Yeah. What's that?
What's
that one?
That's Friday night.
Oh, I missed Friday night. I remember I said I was
going right
to Saturday.
Old Boy Promotions. Says USA Fox Sports 1. It's going to be on the main event. It's light middleweights Cornelius Bundrich and Joey Hernandez. Bundrich is 32-5 with 19 knockouts. Joey is 23-1 with 1 draw and 13 knockouts. Dominic Brazil is also on the card. He's 8-0 with 8 knockouts. Fighting Homero Fonseca, who's 10-6-1. Mike Middleton, Antonio Abrasco, 18-0 with 14 knockouts. Fighting Miguel Angel Huerta, 7-11-1 with 18 knockouts. Pretty interesting card there. And looks like Friday Night Fights. Main event is Thomas Williams Jr. versus Cornelius White. That's a light heavyweight fight. It's for the vacant WBO, NABO light heavyweight title. Thomas Williams Jr. is 15-0 with 10 knockouts. White is 21-2 with 16 knockouts. We have featherweights Rico Ramos, who's 22-3 with 12 knockouts, fighting Jonathan Arellano, who's 14-2-2, 3 knockouts. We got Ronald Hearn on the card, who's 26-4 with 20 knockouts, fighting Eddie Hunter, who's 9-9 with 2 draws and 2 knockouts to his credit. And Malik Scott is on this card, 35-1 with 12 knockouts, 1 draw. He's fighting Grover Young in a little bit of a mismatch here. Grover Young is 7-11. So that should be a pretty big win for Malik Scott there. Anyway, Malik Scott.
We've got to see how he responds to his first loss.
Also on USA NBC Sports Network on Friday night, Atlantic City, we have a card. Curtis Stevens versus Patrick Majewski leading that one. Stevens is 25-4 with 18 knockouts. Majewski is 21-2 with 13 knockouts. And for the NABF Cruiserweight title, we have a couple guys whose names are really hard to pronounce. Cruiserweight. Fabiso Chunu, 14-1 with 10 knockouts, fighting Olan Uwaju Dorodola, 17-1. Wow, got some weird names on this one.
Boy, just imagine if you were calling that one right at ringside, that would be a challenge, huh?
The guy. Fight card named Venroy July. There's another guy named Wilkie Campfort. We got Ilshat. Nolgatin. Oh, man. Or Cus Nolgatin. That's another guy's name. He's undefeated. Nolgatin. I guess that's it. Tony went over everything on Saturday. Oh, we got Marco Huck and Furat Arslan fighting. That was one. Just saw here. That's Saturday in Germany. It's a pretty interesting card. on Boxrec. Don't fail me now. All right, Marco Huck, he's 36-2 with one draw, 25 knockout wins. Fighting Ferhat Arslan, who's 33-6 with 21 knockouts and two draws. Also, that's for the WBO Cruiserweight title. And we have Marcos Nader, 18-0 with one draw, three knockouts, fighting Emanuele Landamora, 21-0 with five knockouts. I think it's going to be about it for us. Got no guests tonight. I will remedy that situation next week. We will have somebody, anybody. Probably a good guest. Not that they're all.
You know what I've been talking to you about getting on the show again? You know, maybe hear back from him. There were a couple of years ago, one on one friend on that was playing with college with, and he was doing where he was losing the weight and then donating it to a local food bank.
Right.
Well, he had a setback in his weight loss. He was around 500 pounds. I think he was around like 480, 485 when he started. Got down to around 400 and maybe like 380 something. And he had a setback and he went back up to about 460. And he started the yoga program that we interviewed DDP 2 years ago. And he started that January 4th of last year. And he went from 467, I think, to the after, at 372. In 1 year.
Wow.
And he's doing a lot of promotional work, and he's doing a lot of really great things. So I had thrown out the door to him just a few days ago, but really getting on again, talking about some of the things he's done, some of his setbacks, and then some of his progress. And then you can also, maybe endorse his website. I think it's imdonatemyweight.com. Also, I threw a mailer out there recently to, who the hell was it? Sending somebody on, and they didn't give me an answer. I was like, somebody I told him, he'd be great. God damn it, I can't remember now, because I'm getting old. A fully fighter too. And if somebody you would really like to talk to, and I can't remember who the hell it was. There's so many people.
Well, I'm sure it'll come to you. If not this week, then next.
Oh, well. Not that there's somebody in my Facebook that
I guess that's it for us. We're going to sign off early. And we'll talk about the fights next week. The results. I'm going to finish watching the fighters, I guess, on the Discovery Channel. They usually replay it late at night.
Yeah, it'll be replayed in its entirety at 11 o'clock tonight. So
cool. Yeah, because I just missed a huge fight scene. I'm watching it on mute, and it looked like all the trainers were in one room, and they almost had to fight with the biggest guy in the room picking a fight with the shortest guy. Younger guy, too. Anyway, looks interesting, and we'll see how it rates. And until next week, I guess that's all for me. Adios.
All right. Let's enjoy the fights. We got a weekend of wars. Let's enjoy them.
Absolutely. Hasta la vista, baby.
All right.
Next week. Yeah, early. Guess next week.